It is good to be here. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we give thanks to you for this day. It is the day that you have made, and we rejoice in it. Lord, I am also mindful that I am a sinful man standing on holy grounds, and I pray that you will anoint my lips with your Spirit so that I may speak your word. Open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear you. In your name we pray. Amen. Who is my neighbor? I'm just going to tell you a short story about what happened this last week. Actually, on Thursday, I was just sitting with my sister and brother-in-law in Portland, Oregon, just having fun. And all of a sudden, I fainted and blacked out. There was a whole lot of commotion in that house, and they called 911, and I was telling them, I'm okay. And here comes the ambulance, and they carted me into the emergency room. And sitting on that emergency room, people were around me, and I just told them, you know, I have a sermon to preach. I'm going back home. And the doctor was saying, Pastor, you need to take care of this temple today. And I said, Doctor, God is calling you to take care of this body and do whatever you can so that I may get up and go back home to preach this sermon. And I'm here. God is good. And do you know when I say God is good in the African-American congregation, what would they say? So God is good. And all the time. Oh, wonderful. I can preach in this congregation all the time. And I know I can get a response from you. So today, the text is about the Good Samaritan. And it's really amazing that Jesus was asked by this expert of the law. And by the way, we're not talking about the lawyers of today. This person was probably very closely connected to the temple and to the religious establishment. So he knew the law of the land. And obviously, he knew the right answers. And when Jesus said, What does the scripture say about how we are to live? And this is what he says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Just pause for a moment. I am sure he had the right answer, but he did not know who his neighbor was. Probably in the mind of this lawyer and this expert, one of the religious elites of the land, his neighbor was someone who sat beside him. He never thought for a moment that his neighbor was the one who was out on the street, left half dead. And you know, the good news is Jesus knows what is in our hearts. So he tells him, you have said right, lawyer. You did say right. Go do likewise. So I am absolutely convinced this lawyer has justified himself and thought he was doing exactly what he believed it was supposed to be. So finally he comes back. I'm assuming he was trying to trick Jesus. And he says, who is my neighbor? And maybe he was waiting for Jesus to stumble and give him the wrong answer so that in his lawyerly mind he could say to Jesus, oh, you didn't know. You don't know a squat. So Jesus comes back and he says, tells him a story. And what a story it was. It was we call it about the Good Samaritan. But Jesus was setting up the scene, and he tells about a person who was left half dead. Did you notice in the story, the characters, he began with the religious establishment, right? The first person, he says, was the priest. And the priest was going, probably it was Friday night, who knows. By the way, Friday is known as the preparation day in the Jewish establishment. So in this day, the priests are not to defile themselves because they are going where? To the temple. So the priest looks at this half-dead man and he leaves him to die. In fact, he does not get closer to him. He goes on the other side of the street. He looks at him and he turns back, goes to the other side of the street, and he kept walking. Just walking. And the other one is just a Levite. If you know about the Levites, go to Numbers chapter 18. These were the people from the tribe of Levi, who are the brothers of Aaron. And God gave him the Levites so that they can be helpful or servants to the priests. So they were to be kept holy, set apart, and they were supposed to be clean because they are constantly approaching the priest and also the temple of God. So they were not about to defile themselves by getting closer to this man who was left half dead. It is so amazing that it was the religious rite who want to always be right, who absolutely missed the target. This is talking about you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sure it is easier to just talk about the other person and tell the story. But deep down in our hearts, we are the Levites and the priests who would be more concerned about doing things right rather than doing the right things. About doing things right rather than doing the right things. So Jesus convicts this young lawyer that it is not about being right all the time, but it is forsaking your rights so that he may do the right thing for those who are hurting and for those who are left half dead. So I'm going to teach you three things about discipleship today. I'll share with you three things. The first one is about being. About being. You see, what happened was the priest and the Levites were not being the compassionate people that needed to be for someone who was hurting and really waiting to get the compassion of those who can be helpful. And you know, when you be, you don't have to think about it. It is who you are. So as a result, you don't even realize that you are being the compassionate person that you need to be. So it is being. The Good Samaritan was just present, being in the moment, sharing the space with someone who was hurting. Just being there. I don't know what your experience have been. I'm sure it won't be anything different than mine. But on that Thursday night, when my brothers and sisters were with me and touching me and comforting me, even without saying a word, I guarantee you that is more precious than any word that they could have uttered. It was being there. Being there for the other. So we are talking about Valentine's Day today, and it's a good thing. And I know words mean much, but being there is much more precious than any word can express. So it is being. The other thing is, I'm going to talk about doing. You see, the Good Samaritan didn't say anything. He just went there, he bent down, and he dressed his wounds, and he took care of him. He bandaged his wounds, and then he put him on the donkey. I don't know, when I was in Africa in my early days, I used to travel the semi-deserts of northern Eritrea on a camel's back. And I know, camels are not that comfortable, by the way. It's not like riding a limousine, I guarantee you. But it was better than just walking on the hot desert day. Riding the camel was just riding like a limousine in the 21st century American mind. So as I was going, I can just remember how comfortable it was, even though the camel's back is not that comfortable. So you can just imagine, this guy was wounded and he was hurting. I'm sure it was very painful, but he was on a donkey's back going to the hotel. That was quite a scene, don't you think so? But this guy gave him the most luxurious means of transportation that there was available in those days, to transport this person who was left half dead to the hotel. And the story doesn't tell us anything that he said to this man, except when he goes to the hotel, he puts him in the inn, and then what did he say? He paid for the hotel, and then he says, when I come back, do everything that he needs, and whatever is left over, I will pay when I come back. In other words, he left an open account at the front desk for this guy to put all the charges that he needs as long as he is there. That he is doing without even saying anything. So the two words, be, do. And when you do as a disciple, by the way, it is the fruit of the faith. So this is what I want us to remember. Disciples do not because God ordered them to do, but this is because who they are. And what they do is a fruit of their faith, and even they don't realize that they are bearing fruit. It is a marvelous thing. This Christian faith and Christian life is a life that is filled with fruits, and those fruits just come flowing because God makes them. It's a beautiful thing. Do you remember when Jesus was talking about the end and the judgment? He says to those on the left, I was sick, you didn't visit me. I was in jail, you didn't visit me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Get away. And he sends them to where they need to go. And they says, when did we see you naked or hungry or in prison? And he says to them, if you have done it for the least of these, you have done it for me. So in each and every person that we see little Christ. And Jesus says, if you have done them for the least of these, you have done them for me. But when those in the right were asked the same thing and Jesus was blessing them, you know, it's very ironic. The other said, when did we see you naked, hungry, and in prison?
And the others also say the same thing. Same questions. But Jesus says, you have fed the hungry, you have dressed the naked, and you have visited the sick and those in prison. And he blesses them with all the blessing that comes with it. You see, they did not recognize that they were doing what they are supposed to do. It's the fruit of the faith. So that's doing, the Christian doing, the disciple way. The disciple's way is to be the child of God that God has called you to be, and to bear the fruit because God has made you a living stone that is built in this church that we call the body of Christ. And because you are living, there is no other way but to bear fruit. And finally, the last word that I will share with you is saying, give in your hearts, he says, this is in 1 Peter chapter 3:15. Be in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You see, on Thursday night, as they were carting me into my room, a veteran was carting the wheel, and I said, I asked him, what do you do? And he said, I'm retired. And I said, you're too young to retire. And he said, well, some retire at 42, some retire at 50, some retire at 60. So he gave me all the list. And he said, well, you must be a veteran. And he said, yes. I have served in the army for 20 years, and I just retired recently. And he very quickly opened up and he shares with me that he was wounded and was disabled, and now they gave him a part-time job at the hospital. So I said, thank you for your services. And I told him, I kind of understand this because I was wounded once. He opened up and he said, well, he says to me, it will be okay. And I said, yeah, I know. It's going to be okay. And he said, well, I know we know that. So I asked him the question, how did you know that I know that it's going to be okay? And he said, because of the calmness of your spirit. And as we were going, I was able to witness to this guy. And I just told him, why don't you read Romans chapter 8, 28 to the end? And you'll know exactly the reason for the hope that's within me. You see, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is within you. May the peace of God that passes all our human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. And God's people said, amen.